You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Activists converged on Salem yesterday to tell legislators that we, the people, want to keep them the guard in Oregon.
So far, the only stimulus Oregon will see is more logging, renamed thinning, for the benefit of the green-minded.
And a staggering insurance giant AIG has enraged the public by handing out taxpayers' money in the form of bonuses to the same people who caused the problem.
Portland area weather, rain, a little bit of hail and wind, temperatures in the 40s. Tonight, more rain, gusting winds, especially in the gorge and the coast, temperatures in the 30s and 40s, and more the same for the next few days.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. First to Salem to talk with peace activist, Code Pink Corvallis member, and KBOO anti-war correspondent Michelle Darr. Good morning, Michelle. Michelle has problems with her phone. She is a peace activist who has been sitting on the steps of the state capitol in Salem since November. Her circumstances there have changed. They're always difficult. Phones in particular. Michelle has been through a number of different cell phones, but just keeping a cell phone going due to shortage of funds has been a major problem for her. Contacting her is difficult. Media has interviewed her, mass media has interviewed her on a number of occasions, and it's always been problematic. We're going to try to get Michelle on the phone this morning to talk about the march in Salem on Sunday, and she'll be with us in just a moment. But until then, Liam, go ahead.
Today's the sixth anniversary of the killing of American peace activist Rachel Corrie by an Israeli military bulldozer in Rafah. She'd been trying to prevent the demolition of a Palestinian home near the border with Egypt. Last week, a women's peace delegation and Rachel's parents, Cindy and Craig Corrie, traveled to Gaza.
Federal stimulus money will soon pay for workers to thin northwest forests considered at risk for major wildfires. The U.S. Forest Service has awarded more than $12 million to 10 rural counties in Oregon and Idaho. Nan Christensen from the Forest Service in Missoula, Montana, says this is the first group of stimulus projects that her agency will fund. Oregon was also awarded about $3 million to hire high school and college-aged youth to do forest conservation and maintenance work during the next two summers. Well, Michelle is with us now. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Chris.
Talk a little bit, if you would, about yesterday's Peace March.
Well, it was great. There were about 400 to 500 people out here, and it was a good show of solidarity for the National Guard to keep the National Guard home, and I thought it went very well.
Tokala, and also you have had a change in the nature of your vigil activities. Tell listeners, if you would, what's happened.
Well, we've been informed that what we need to do is to keep an awake vigil at night, which it was already quite difficult to, you know, have people out here who are willing to take the tickets that we were getting on a nightly basis for refusing to leave after 11 o'clock. So we've had to go ahead and end the nighttime part of it as, myself and the one other person who've been out here at night have been, you know, it's just not possible for us to stay awake all night and then expect to carry on, you know, the other activities we need to carry on during the day. So we're out here in the daytime and holding the vigil and, you know, working as hard as we can on, you know, keeping this issue in the forefront of the minds of the legislators. And today's a legislative lobbying day, so it's a really good day to call your legislators, call your senators and representatives and the governor's office, let them know that it's still really important to Oregonians to support the passage of HB 2556, HR 4, and SR 1.
Thank you so much. My guest has been Michelle Darr with Code Pink Corvallis. She's a peace activist and has been holding a vigil on the steps of the state capitol since November. Thanks again, Michelle.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.
At least six bills that target smoking and tobacco are making their way through the capitol this session. and the legislation runs the gamut. The Department of Human Services has introduced bills that would bar tobacco products from being sold in vending machines, require landlords to disclose their smoking policies, and implement a 60-cent a pack cigarette tax.
And it gets smokier. The State Department of Environmental Quality says many Oregon students are riding to school in diesel-powered buses filled with potentially harmful fumes. According to the DEQ, more than two-thirds of the state's 5,200 school buses leak fumes through a hole in the crankcase or through tailpipe emissions. Okay, who can spell the word bicycle?
And that's not all they're inhaling. A new study of teen inhalant abuse suggests a need for more prevention and treatment. The government numbers show that fewer teens are sniffing glue, lighter fluid, shoe polish, and other substances, but it finds that the number of teens who actually abuse inhalants, as opposed to just giving them a try, has remained stable over the last 5 years.
Saturday night in downtown Portland, the Oregon ACLU held its annual gala. The atmosphere was all political, all party, all the time. I spoke with the guest of honor. Jim Hightower, thank you so much for being here in Portland with us. How do you feel about the prospects for civil liberties under the Obama administration?
Well, I think that was the whole message here tonight was we are optimistic, but wary. We have to be careful, and more than careful, we have got to be the force that pushes the Obama to be better than even he thinks he can be, because there are forces of repression, there are forces of suppression in terms of liberties all around him. And so there are 13,000 corporate lobbyists in Washington. There are a rabidly recalcitrant Republican regime in the Congress that wants to defeat him, wants to have him fail. There are weak-kneed Democrats who will not stand up. And so we have to stand up for him. The significant thing to me about Obama is that he represents the possibility of actual change. You know, even with Clinton, but certainly with Bush, we had no chance of change. We were fighting negative battles. Now we have a possibility of actually achieving something. And having that possibility gives us a special responsibility to be more aggressive and more demanding of real change, more demanding of liberties than we have been in the past. So our battle has just begun. The election of Obama was we have to wallow in that victory a little bit. I mean, because it was so extraordinary. It was so wonderful. But having done that, we cannot get all goosey about it. We now have to stand up, and we the people have got to be the force from the outside that demands, that counters the inside forces and demands that we actually make a difference.
So, in an optimistic beer and wine frame of mind, how many years do you think it might take to undo the damage done by the Bush administration?
Well, you know, they say that the worst job in circus is cleaning up after the elephants. And,
I love that.
and certainly, here we are. And that's begun. You know,
That was Jim Hightower, of course, speaking with me, and I am, of course, KBOO's Chris Andre. Ma'am?
Relatives say that immigration officials are trying to deport a dead man. They contend Nassin Mauricio Rivera died last August, but a deportation hearing against the native Salvadoran is still set for a hearing this summer.
No one can say we're not a nation of law and order. The Obama administration announced today that the 21 largest banks receiving government money must report monthly on how much lending they do to small businesses. All other banks getting taxpayer help are being asked to report quarterly on small business loans. Even banks that are not taking government funds are being told by the administration to make an extra effort to increase small business lending.
Reassuring comments on the economy from Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke sent stocks mostly higher today, giving the Dow and Standard & Poor's their fifth straight day of gains. Financial stocks again led the way.
Well, it looks like it might be working. On the other hand, the insurance giant AIG has gone ahead and handed out bonuses to the same people in the same department of the company whose bad decisions caused the company to implode, taking most of us with it. Americans are enraged over the action, but, hey, it's legal. KB of Spencer Raymond joined us by phone this morning to make sense of it all. Good morning, Spencer.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. You're right. There are a lot of people outraged. Both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill really upset over this, and it's really starting to question the motives of the Obama administration on future bailouts. Is AIG deserving of a new bailout? Should they need more money? They've had a couple rounds of them so far. But, Chris, what was also released over the weekend was not only the positions of these executives who were getting the bonuses, but companies really around the world that were getting money from AIG after they received the bailout money. So the way it works is that investments that companies and states and municipalities in some cases had in AIG, when those investments turned sour, AIG didn't have the money to repay those investments with. That's when they turned to the federal government, and that's when the government did the bailouts in the fall and even this winter still. So, there, I mean, Goldman Sachs, Deutsche Bank, Merrill Lynch, the list goes on of these companies that AIG owed money to and could only repay them back once they received the federal bailout money. And that goes to show you just how big and intertwined AIG really is with all these companies worldwide. And remember, that was the reasoning behind giving AIG the bailout in the first place, with the thought that if they don't get the bailout money and if they fail on their investors, they'll bring down the whole system with them.
And so they've gone ahead and paid $165 million in executive bonuses. I don't know how well I don't know how they're successful.
The administration
will be. They say they're pursuing every legal avenue, but what the word is that these bonuses were written into contracts that were transacted months before the bailout. Yet, during the same time, that surely they must have known that things are heading south at a rapid rate.
And that's the question now. And Barney Frank, actually, he's the chair of the House Financial Services Committee. He's looking into this pretty carefully and seeing what of this executive bonus money is actually retractable. He's actually wondering, can not only AIG, but could the federal government say, we want those sums of the bonuses. We're going to retract our bailout money. We're going to take it back away from AIG so they can, you know, basically retract the bonuses, see if that's even legally possible. And that's what these lawmakers are going to want to do because, like, you know, we've said, there's a lot of people who are outraged about this.
It comes to what the big insurer is planning on doling out actually is closer to $1 billion. The bonuses themselves are reported by the Associated Press to be $165 million. It's $1 billion, though, when you take into account what they call retention pay to employees. This has been the justification all along for paying these huge bonuses that they needed to keep all of this amazingly intelligent, clever talent that they had. Well, it seems that this clever talent has managed to dig the company into the deepest hole the world's ever seen.
It's the talent that was, you know, the mortgage-backed securities. You know, remember that term from the fall where all of this started from, those bad assets, those terms that were kind of coined that we didn't know anything about before last fall. These are the managers who are making those bad decisions, who are investing in those shaky areas of the mortgages, and depending on that murky area of investing to hold AIG afloat, which, as we know, did not turn out well at all.
If they got there was a cartoon in the New Yorker to the effect that if these people got any more talented, we'd really be in trouble. Laura Summers says the Obama administration's priority is safeguarding the U.S. taxpayer, and people just are not buying that argument, at least not on the so-called Main Street. Wall Street, though, seems to be responding fairly well.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the past few days, Wall Street has been looking up, and it's a mixed bag here of feelings, because on one side, you have, AIG, it's able to stay afloat, it's able to help these other companies, but then, of course, they're going to keep paying their employees and their executives. So what do you want? Do you want the company to remain in existence, or do you want the executives to get paid, or do you want them not to get paid? It's kind of, you can't pick and choose here. You know, if you're going to give the company the money, they're going to do with it what they want, and in most cases, it's, paying their executives the six-figure salaries.
And on that note, thank you so much, Spencer Raymond. That, of course, is KBOO Spencer Raymond, joining us as he does every weekday morning by phone. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Monday, March 16th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Tammy Dean. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.